I have a testimony for you today. Would Mark please come on up? Mark, come on. He's going to share a testimony. Here you go. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Woo.
Can you hear me? 2009 marked the 20th anniversary of our printing company. It was a business that had grown 20 to 25% each and every year leading up to that point. It afforded us a lifestyle of multiple homes, fancy cars, a live-in nanny, and lots of shiny things. It was great. It was great. It was also represented our retirement and a sense of security. Life was good. Key word was. 2009, life was not good. The business had struggled throughout 2008, got to the point where we were so far in debt we could not service the debt. It was looking very bleak to the point where I was actually sitting at my desk, filling out a resume, thinking that maybe I'll work at Home Depot or someplace that I would enjoy working at, that this was it. So while I was sitting at my desk, a brother in Christ who I hadn't seen in a long time comes walking in. He goes, hey, how you doing? I said, well, I'm not doing so good. He goes, well, what's up? I said, are you kidding me? What's up? Do you know what the economy's like? I said, my business is so far in debt, I can't go another month. I'm losing customers, the customers I have that aren't paying me. We are going down. And he got angry at me. He said, what are you saying? And he's getting angry. I'm like, where's the love, brother? Come on. You're getting mad at me because I'm just telling you what's going on. I really feel sorry for you. Let's pray. I didn't get one of those. Mm-hmm. What I got was a rebuke. Now, I was only 5 years in the faith, so I wasn't too rehearsed about rebuking another person. In fact, I'm glad he did that. If he didn't do that, my life probably would be very different. But thank God he did that. He said, you're talking death. I says, what are you talking about? I'm not talking death. I'm talking the facts, Jack. Mm-hmm. Business is going down. My equipment payment for my business would be what most people would make in 1 year. I didn't have the money. I had so much lines of credit that was tapped out. We had sleepless nights, slight discussions about finances, finger pointing. Once again, 5 years in faith, you don't have a lot to work with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm telling my friend, hey, you know, this is it. He's getting mad at me. And I'm like, what are you saying? He goes, oh, you can't be saying that. You're speaking death. I says, well, really? Oh, what am I supposed to say? Everything's great. You know, we're just doing fine. He goes, no, you got to speak life. I said, I don't get it. He goes, listen, where I work, I'm the only one that's busy. I said, well, you're the only one that's busy. He goes, yeah, out of all the people in the company, I'm the only one that's busy. I said, really? He goes, yeah, I'm speaking life. I'm thanking God that, God, you're going to provide. That I have a family of 9 kids, and God, you've been faithful. You're going to continue to be faithful. I don't care what the economy's like. I don't care what the customers are like or any of that. He goes, I'm speaking life. He goes, in fact, you know, this guy installs satellite dishes for one of the satellite companies. He goes, you know, I went up to Julian, worked on a guy's house. He found out I was a brother. He gives me a little envelope after I finish the job. I go out to my truck. He goes, listen, before he takes the envelope, he says, you know, it's something for you and your family. You know, the Lord's putting something in my heart. He goes, I went out to my truck. I opened up the envelope. There was a check for $10,000. I'm like, what? What? I can use $10,000? He goes, Mark, you got to start speaking life. You're speaking death. I said, so he left, and I was angry, upset, confused, embarrassed, all at the same time. And I'm thinking, well, he's telling me I got to speak life. Okay, great. Here we go. Okay, God, the business is going to do great. All right. I started speaking life. I said, all right, I'm going to try to challenge God a little bit. I remember typing an email to somebody. This is going to be a good month for the business. I went back, erased good. I said, great. Well, guess what? That month was great. I said, all right, next month's going to be better. It was better. I said, all right, Lord, I need you to provide me with the plan. I said, God, you're going to give me new and creative ways to get new customers that are going to build the business back up to where it used to be. Sure enough, the Lord gave me an idea. He gave me this idea. I says, all right, God, I received the idea, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to get 20 new customers within 2 weeks. Now, the business only had about 30 active customers, so I was asking big. I was going big. Why ask for 10? Ask for 20. I should ask for 50. But anyway, so guess what? Within 1 week, I already had the 20 customers because the Lord has spoken to me. The Holy Spirit directed me what to do. And it worked. So within a short period of time, the business kept growing and growing and growing. January 1st, 2010, I said, all right, Lord, I'm enjoying the ride now. The debt's getting paid down. You know, we've got new customers. We're firing on all cylinders. I says, all right, I'm going for the Grand Slam. I says, Lord, 2010 is going to be the best, the most profitable year in the history of the business. And 2010 was the best and most profitable year in the history of the business. I spoke life. I believed. I did not doubt. I stood in faith. God backed it up all along the way, giving me creative ideas and ways and means to change what we were doing. And I give him all the glory.
Amen. All right. So real life experience right there. And I'm sure I could have called on a number of people to share, and they would have been able to share similar stories. So it is true. It does work. Now, we started our series 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago on power. In the first week, we spoke about the power of God's words and that he had given us power in our words to be, you know, to say the same thing. And then the next week or last week, we spoke about the miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. And then, so we've been speaking positive stuff, like Mark was saying. Today, I'm going to ride your case a little, okay? And honestly, I was up all night so concerned about upsetting you. Did you see how upset Mark got when that guy spoke to him and challenged him on what he was saying? See, that's the natural response that we have. Nobody likes to be told what you're doing is wrong. Nobody. Nobody. We don't like to feel that we are responsible. We like to blame other people. You know, our wife. It's her fault. She got up this morning. That's the problem. It's my husband's fault. He went to work and left me with the kids. It's the kids' fault. Maybe it's God's fault, or even the devil. But we don't ever want to look in the mirror and take responsibility for some of these things. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to look in the mirror. Okay? I'm going to ask you to look in the mirror. I'm going to ask you to be as honest as you can with yourself, because God is going to give you a word today that will change your life forever if you will accept it and apply it in your life. It's up to you. You can reject it. You can say, that man made me so mad, never going back to the promise. And that's okay, because I can't help everybody. I understand that. I can only help those who are willing to help themselves. And if you're here today, I think God is working with you to help you change your situation. That's what I believe. So the sermon this morning is entitled Hung by the Tongue. Hung by the Tongue. Reading out of Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20, we're going to read a statement by Solomon. Anybody know who Solomon is? Was. Okay? The richest man who ever lived on the earth in tangible assets. Jesus was the richest man who lived because he could say with his mouth and it would be produced instantly. Never had a need. Whatever it was, he said it and was there. So he had access to heaven's supply. Solomon had it here on earth. The wealthiest. I mean, honestly, they had silver dumps outside of the walls. Just to give you an idea. When the Queen of Sheba came to visit, he said half has never been told about the opulence and the wealth of what he had. Most things that he had were just covered in gold. Everything just covered in gold. He was also known as the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus. You're aware of these facts. So let's listen to what Solomon's got to say. If we're going to listen to anybody, if we're going to be, you know, led or taught by anybody, let's go to a really successful guy. And he says this, a man's self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. With the consequence of what he says, he has to be satisfied. You cannot blame somebody else if you've said it. The consequence is yours. And then he makes the statement, which is probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, especially if you listen to motivational speakers. They will say this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not the gun, the tongue. Not the foot or the hand or the brain. Not the president, the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge in it, they who use the tongue, shall eat the fruit of it, the fruit of what you say, for death or life. This is an amazing statement made by God in the Word. It is one of the most, if it wasn't in the Word, it would be very difficult to believe. But it is here in the Word. So close your eyes, take a deep breath, and I want you to say this with me out loud. God has placed the power of death and life in the words I speak. Say this. The quality of my life is dependent on the words I speak. Okay, look up at me. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Whether you curse your life or whether you bless your life, whether you speak death or whether you speak life over your life. Now, let's go to a very famous man, Peter. We all know the Apostle Peter. And we all know that he should have had peppermint shoes because every time he opened his mouth, he put one of his feet in it. He did exactly this. Do you remember when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And he jumped his feet. He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Wow." And he goes, "Well, check that out. Amen. I am the chief of the apostles. Don't even mess with me, guys. You carry my case for me like, you know. All right. Front row in the airplane where we go traveling. I am Peter. Peter, I'm going to be the first pope." And a little woman says to him, "You're one of his disciples." "No, I'm not." No, really, really, I see. "Woman, shut up." "No, but I've seen you with one of the guys. Swear, blaspheme, curse, don't know him." Out of the same mouth. One was life, one was death. How did the death affect him? Worse than the life promoted him. Because he ran after that, God, Jesus, had to come and find him. And he had to repent. "Do you love me?" 3 times, because he denied him 3 times. Peter lied out of his mouth about knowing Jesus. He spoke death over his life and his relationship with God, and it cost him dearly. Yes? So you see it as possible, even if you are the chief apostle, to also mess up. So everybody here, none of us are the chief apostle. And so the chances of us messing up are good. Hello. Just don't agree with me. Don't speak that death over your life. Now, let's have a look at the power their words have to bring death. And I'm going to talk about the sins of the mouth. See, this is the thing you hear a lot about in church, is the sins of the body. Different sins, right? Adultery, fornication, gambling, drunkenness, and all this kind of stuff. But what you don't ever hear about is the sins of the mouth. The first sin of the mouth we're going to look at is the sin of lying to yourself or to others or about yourself. Lying comes out of the mouth, right? And how many of you know it's one of the 7 things God hates? Okay? God hates liars. Lying. Why does he hate lying so much? Because if you're telling lies, you can never have faith. How? Because you have to believe in what you say. Let's let that sink in a little bit. Because that might have got, what does that mean? Believe in your heart, say with your mouth. Believe what you say is going to come to pass. If you're telling lies, you actually don't believe it. So liar. Oh, and I hate to throw this in, but Book of Revelation says all liars are going to have their place in the lake of fire. whoa, that'd be enough to cure you of lying right there. Also, lying about other people. So, you know, when Peter said, I don't know him, he was lying about himself. But then lying about other people was just as bad. Then there's sowing discord. I'm not going to do, you know, a whole essay on it, but sowing discord. Sowing discord is speaking about somebody else, right? Speaking somebody else. So sowing discord is not a good thing. Let's go back to Solomon, chapter 6, Proverbs, verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Now, perverse is like, what does that mean? In modern day language today, we'd probably say false, or we'd say wayward, or we might say deceitful, or we might say contrary, argumentative, contrary. Now, notice this person is called worthless and wicked because of his mouth. His mouth is perverse, it's false, it's contrary, it's wayward. Now, verse 13 says, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, and he points with his fingers. Verse 14 says, perversity is in his heart. So the same thing, waywardness, contrariness, falseness, and perversity is in his heart. See, what's in his heart comes out of his mouth. You can tell what's in his heart because it's coming out of his mouth. Now, he devises evil continually, and he sows discord. So this person who is not controlling their mouth and what they say is also the person who sows discord, brings division. Sowing discord brings division. Now, verse 15 says, therefore. Well, whenever you hear the word therefore, you have to go and find out what it's there for. And you can only find out what it's there for if you find out what was before therefore. So he says, the person who sows discord, this person who sows discord, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Solomon says that if there's perversity in your heart and there's this falseness that's in the heart, comes out of the mouth, you're going to reap calamity in your life without remedy. Now, folks, you know, listen. That is one terrible journey to be on if that's what's coming. We want to get off this train as soon as we can. Hello. Yeah? Since we found out in the Bible what we're going to hit, we want to get off this train before we hit it. So the person who speaks this way, who sows discord, is going to end up in calamity. So what can I say to you? What you sow with your mouth, you must reap. It's going to come back to you. What you say with your mouth is going to come back to you. So I have one piece of advice. Make your words sweet. You're going to eat them. You're going to eat them. Say good stuff with your mouth. Good stuff's going to come back to you. All right? Now, New Testament. Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. He says, for I am afraid. Whoa. Okay. That when I come, I won't like what I find. I'm going to come and visit you guys. I won't like what I find. And you won't like my response. In other words, he's going to get on their case. When he gets there, he's going to find something that is contrary to Scripture, contrary to the way Christians should be living. And when he gets there, he said, you will not like my response, because he's a true father in the faith. See, a true father will tell you, you got bad breath. A true father will tell you, you left your fly open. And not let you walk throughout the service. Like, I can't tell him, it's too embarrassing. How much more embarrassing will it be when they get out and find out it was open the whole service? Listen, man, I'm trying to be a true father to you. I'm trying to help you in the situation that you're in. Okay? So Paul is warning them. Listen, when I come, you're not going to be happy if I find. What do you think I'm going to find when you get there, Paul? What am I going to find? He says, this is what I'm expecting. I'm afraid that when I find I'll get there, you guys will be quarreling with each other. Is that mouth or not? Yeah. And then there's going to be jealousy. Mouth or not?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Cindy. Next time, sit in the front row, okay? Anger. Is anger expressed through words?
Yes.
Okay. Selfishness. Not so much. Slander. Yes. Words. Gossip. Arrogance. And disorderly behavior. So he mentions eight things that he thinks he's going to find. Six of them have to do with the mouth. Things that are being said in church. He's not going to the barroom. He's going to church. And he's saying, listen, guys, in the body of Christ, this is the problem. The biggest problem in the body of Christ is the way we speak to each other, or about each other, or about other churches. Are you hearing me today? Okay? Okay. These things are unacceptable. They're unacceptable. So we get hung by the tongue, and we need to be challenged. When he mentions gossip, how many of you heard people say, I don't go to the church because they gossip all the time? Well, you know, I can honestly thank God that the Promised Church, this church that we're pastoring right now, that this is not happening.
Yes, that's
and would you just give yourself a round of applause? For you who are new to the Promise, we're not trying to, you know, just buff our own, you know, shine our own halo. But I'm telling you the truth that, in fact, this church that we're pastoring right now, I don't have any of that to deal with. Okay? Except if you come late and you can't find a seat, then I can understand. But we're sorting that out, are we not? Together, all of us. You see that? See that? Even the togetherness of solving the problem. All right. Now, you see, gossip is like, did you hear about? You're standing in the parking lot. Did you hear about? What? That should be enough to say, I don't want to hear about. Okay? Well, are you coming to P3 on Wednesday night? I'm only telling you this so you can pray about it. I'll share this with you in confidence. Please don't tell anybody else. Because the person who told me said I must not tell anybody else. So I can trust you, right? You won't share it with anybody. See, gossip is like walking around town with a feather pillow that has a hole in it on a windy day. And when you're done and you realize it's wrong, you try and find all the feathers to put it back in the pillow. Not going to happen. Once it goes out there, it's destructive. It's going to cause destruction. You can't take it back. Third sin of the mouth, cursing. Everybody say hung by the tongue. Cursing. Now, when we say cursing, we usually think of bad language. Like, this is a dirty joke. It's filthy speech. You know, swearing, R-rated movies, bad language, cursing. But I want to show you another aspect of cursing that maybe you haven't seen. In Romans 3 and 13, Paul writes, he says, their throats, which is going to come out their mouth, are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit, lies. The poison of vipers or poison of snakes is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Now, please understand something. We usually pass over. So cursing is so bad. Bitterness is equally as bad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Bitterness is because you felt you were wronged. And now you got bitter towards somebody, and it's resonant in your heart. It's growing a tree. It's a root. And it won't be long if somebody's talking to you, up will come the bitterness that you have towards somebody. Comes out. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Paul says that their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now, when you curse something, remember Jesus cursed the fig tree? We looked at that a couple of weeks. Jesus cursed the fig tree. When you curse something, you curse it. You curse it, because that's what cursing is. You curse it. It's the opposite of blessing it. I could say it like this, and you might understand it a little better. You damn it. Do you know how many times, listen, on the golf course, I think the worst swearers play golf. We used to live on a golf course. We used to live on the 12th hole of Eagle Crest. We couldn't sit outside on a Sunday afternoon because people coming past and hit bad shots, we'd block your ears and get inside. The language was so bad. And they would say, GD, this. GD. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You got that? You got that? Okay. Well, I've got news for you. God doesn't damn anything. Huh. Okay. But that's what a curse is. A curse is damnation. A curse is damning something. Why would you want to damn your marriage? Why would you want to damn your business? Why would you want to damn your children? Why would you want to damn your health or damn your personal wealth? By speaking negatively to the tree, Jesus cursed it. Why would you want to curse your own fig tree? Huh? Why would you want to damn the very thing that's supposed to produce life in your life? Why would you be cursing it? Are you still listening to me? Okay. Okay. Psalm 109, verse 17. He loved to pronounce a curse. He loved to pronounce a curse. May it come on him. What he said, may it come on him. He found no pleasure in blessing. May it be far from him. This is the Bible. This is the Bible talking to us about our words. This is how important it is. Life and death are the power of the tongue. The person loved to curse or to damn with their mouth, may it come on him. May your words come back to you. May you reap what you say. The person who wouldn't bless, may blessing be far from him. Whoa. Verse 18. He wore cursing as his garments. It, cursing, entered into his body like water, and into his bones like oil. You probably haven't done this. You take a dry bone and you rub oil on it. What do you think happens to the oil? Gets absorbed, gets soaked right in. So what the Bible said is when a person is using this foul language, this cursing language, this bad language of speaking death out there, guess what? It's soaking into their very bones. What is it going to cause in the way of sickness in your body? Like water going into the body. The words, the cursing is going to go in like water is absorbed into the body. Because this is a very dangerous train. We've got to get off it. We have to change what we've been saying. If this is the last day you ever, you got to stop it. You just got to stop it. It's, you know, We can't be blessed when we're cursing and using this foul language of condemnation and criticism and negative words of death that are coming out of our heart. We cannot get blessed. Hear me clearly. Listen to me. Listen. God cannot bless a curser. God cannot override his word and cause blessings to come into our life if we are using words of death and damnation over our life, our family, our marriage, our children, our business, and whatever. God cannot override your will and bless you in spite of it. It's full. It's in the Bible. These are biblical principles. And we might be asking, why are my prayers not being answered? Because what you're praying and what you're saying are two different things. God bless me. And you turn around and you say, you know what? I think we're just going to lose our business. You know, I can't pay the rent this month. I'm probably going to get fired. You know, things are so bad, I can't make any sales. God, please give me sales. Give me sales. I don't know. I've tried everything. Nothing's working. What you're praying and what you're saying are not the same thing. And God can answer your prayer if you're cursing your life. Turn to your neighbor and say amen and oh me at the same time. What you sow, you will reap. It's a law in the Bible. You see, when you speak life over your life, over your family, over your health, over your children, when you're speaking life, you're giving God the opportunity to release his promises into your life to bring about change in your life so he can bless you. When you choose to use words of condemnation, criticism, death, damnation, cursing, listen now. Listen carefully. You're handing your tongue over to Satan to bring about death, chaos, and destruction in your life. He doesn't need any more power or evil authority. You gave it to him. You asked him with your mouth. Looks like I'm never going to get healed. Yeah, I think this will probably be the way I'll be for the rest of my life. You know, we're used to being poor, so just suck it up and try and be as happy as we can in the condition that we're in. Because obviously, this is the will of God for us. And Satan says, just keep giving me more stuff. Come on, I can use that. I can use that. I can destroy your life. Because you gave him the power, it was in your tongue. You gave it to him. Are you hearing me? All right. Let's talk about the unpardonable sin. What has that got to do with today's sermon? It's been bad enough. What are you going to go? Where are you going to go now? Unpardonable sin. I don't want to hear anymore. Yeah, you do. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus is going to be teaching us now for a while. And he's going to talk about the unpardonable sin. Verse 31. So Jesus said, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, men. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So there it is. The unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, talking about words, talking about himself. Now, anybody who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. You can ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry I said that about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, forgiven. And you're forgiven. But, he says, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. So it's eternal. It's the unpardonable sin. So Jesus clearly told us the unpardonable sin is not a moral sin, like adultery, or gambling, or stealing. He said the unpardonable sin is not even murder. It's a sin of words. Let me tell you something. You've never run into anybody who's ever thought that they've committed the unpardonable sin who thought it was words out of their mouth. They all thought they did something else. Hello. I'm going to just sit here and take a drink of cold water. My mouth is dry. talking to you guys about this stuff. Can't imagine how you must be feeling. Pastor, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Not if you're sitting here in church. You wouldn't be here if you had committed the unpardonable sin. And listen, while you have breath, and while there's any desire or any inclination at all towards God, I can assure you haven't committed the unpardonable sin. Okay? Because if you had, there would be no desire in you whatsoever. In fact, you wouldn't even be concerned about it. People say, well, have I committed the unpardonable? The fact that you're concerned about it tells me you haven't done it. See that? It's that easy. And the devil is so smart how he gets us wrapped up in, well, I think I'll be okay. I'll be the best. No. You haven't. All right. Let's keep reading. Jesus is teaching. Let's keep this in context. It goes to verse 33. It says, make a tree good and its fruit good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. So the heart of the tree is what produces the fruit. All right? The heart of the tree is what produces the fruit. And we recognize the tree by its fruit. Recognize the tree. So this is the thing. During fruit season, if you went and you pulled off all the lemons off the lemon tree, no lemons, would that change the lemon tree? Or would it still be a lemon tree? So here's the problem when we try and tell people not to sin. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. Even you cut all the sins. If they haven't changed the heart, they're still a sinner and they will produce sin next season. You have to change the heart in order to change the fruit. So an evil tree produces evil fruit. Jesus is actually not talking about trees in reality, isn't he? He's using a metaphor. Okay? He's saying human beings are like trees. We have a heart and we have fruit. Now, our fruit are our actions or our words. In fact, they are both, our actions and our words. This is our fruit. And our fruit tells us the condition of our heart. Lemon tree, lemon heart. Evil fruit, evil heart. Perverse words. We started with that this morning. Don't leave yet. Perverse heart. Got it? What's coming out of the mouth is an indication of what's in the heart. That's what he's saying. So, and you see, this is the reason why the Pharisees, this is this group of very religious people, like very traditional religious, they couldn't say anything good. Because, see, their heart was hard. It was bitter. It was filled with unforgiveness and shame. So they couldn't say anything good. They just kept on saying bad stuff. Let's keep reading. Jesus is still talking. Now, he started with the unpardonable sin. He went to the tree. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 34, we're still in context. And he says, you brood of vipers. Now, talking about the Pharisees, he says, how can you, being evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. We can't hide it. You can't hide it. Sooner or later, in a conversation, what is in your heart will come out of your mouth. You can't hide it because out of the overflow, it bubbles out. What you're thinking in your heart, what's in your heart, will come out of your mouth. Okay? You understand this? So if we do an analysis, are you speaking fear or faith? Are you speaking sickness or health? Are you speaking poverty or wealth? Are you speaking criticism or encouragement? Are you speaking hate or love? Are you speaking anger or peace? Are you speaking forgiveness or unforgiveness? So whatever you're speaking, that's what's in your heart. Okay? Now, well, does it matter, Pastor, if what I say, I said when I was venting. I was just letting off steam. Have you ever noticed this? how much passion you use when you vent? Have you ever noticed how you raise it to another level? How you actually say it with more conviction? You actually use more conviction when you vent than when you pray. Why is that? Because you're releasing more faith when you vent than when you pray. How do I know that? Because the Bible says over and over and over again, and Jesus said with a loud voice. That meant he raised it up a few notches and he said, come out! Stand up! He didn't say, devil, if you're listening, come out. This is so awkward. People are watching. Stand up if you can. All right, that's enough. We're going to pray for him at P3. Why? Because I really don't want to try to get you up in case it doesn't work. So real quiet. Be healed. Okay. Did he do it that way? Or did he take the risk? Stand up so everybody can hear. He didn't speak to the fig tree so they couldn't hear. He spoke to the fig tree so they all could hear. Now, whether you know this or not, people are hearing what you're saying. Your kids are hearing what you're saying. Your wife, everybody around it. Well, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Then why the heck did you say it? When I honestly didn't mean it, but the Bible said, out of the overflow of your heart comes out. You can't stop it. So you did mean it. Well, I didn't think. I spoke before I thought. It's exactly right. Didn't come out your head, came out your heart. I'm sorry, you know. I know I should never have said that. I take it back. Really? Can you take back that knife that came out of your mouth that stabbed the person in the heart and belittled them and criticized them and condemned them so they feel like a puddle of water on the floor? And now you say, I'm sorry? You think it takes it back? Listen, I know many people. Many wives would say, I'd rather be beaten by my husband than spoken to the way he does. See, when you get physically abused, you heal. But when words come out of your mouth, out of somebody's mouth, and cut to the heart and tear you apart internally, those wounds don't heal. They don't heal until you can forgive the person who caused them. You can't get healed from it. This means you walk around with bitterness, anger, shame, and unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody because somebody spoke words of death to you. You know, I didn't expect to get a lot of amens. But I'm sure preaching better than you're amening. So why don't we all just say amen and give the Lord a good praise like this. Okay? And then everybody around will know I'm not talking about you. Because like you're full in agreement with this. Your marriage, for those who are married, will never be any better than the words you speak over your spouse when no one else is listening. Your marriage will never be any better than you say it is. Well, I do. You know, there are not many good gents' hairdressers. That's why I look like this. I blame all this loss on bad hairdressers. So consequently, I have to go to ladies' hairdressing salons to get the cut that I'm looking for. Unless you actually have a bold shield of faith, you don't want to sit there and listen to the ladies speaking about their husbands. It's a cesspool. They never say anything good. They just... I feel so sorry for people like Cheryl and Melody, who are hairdressers. Any other lady hairdressers? Any? Whoa, we could start our own salon. Look at all those lady hairdressers here. Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. And they want to complain. They want to criticize. Well, we have to be very careful what we say, because are we blaming our spouse or are we supporting them? What are the words that are coming out of our mouth? And what are we saying over our children? What are we saying over our children? Do you think that affects them? This applies to your health, your wealth, anything you could think of. Are you speaking life to it or are you speaking death to it? So, the perception that you have of your future is a picture in your heart. See, you have a picture in your heart. And that picture is what you think or believe your future is going to look like. Well, here comes the problem. The canvas of your future is being painted by the words of your mouth. You have a perception, you have a picture, and then you proceed to paint the picture with the words of your mouth that are coming out of your heart. So what does your future look like? What does it hold for you? Believe it or not, we're in the same chapter, the same verse. We haven't left the same story. Jesus is on the same story. Verse 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. The good man brings forth good things. The evil man, evil things. Where they're coming from? His heart. Your future is in your heart, spoken with your mouth. What you have stored up in your heart comes out of your mouth, and that will be your future. Are you listening? Listen carefully. Good or bad? Good or bad? As you heard the testimony today, good or bad? You can change your future by changing the words of your mouth. But therein is the battle. Because what's in the heart will come out of the mouth. And then you're going to have an internal battle not to say with your mouth. And listen, guys, I'm sitting right next to you. I'm preaching to myself. You think I don't have battles of faith and battles of what I'm facing and circumstances? Honestly? Do you have any idea what it feels like to wake up 18 years believing for a miracle? Or showering and dressing Jackie or feeding her? Do you know how many times I've wanted to say out of my mouth, but have held it back? Not to her, to God. Or to say to somebody else, I'm going to say it. When you come late, you have no excuse. Are you washing and bathing and dressing your wife and feeding her before you come to church? And I'm here by 9:15 in time for prayer meeting. You have no excuse. That roped off area should be empty. If you're a member of this church, that's a smile. I'm saying this with a big smile. See how much I'm loving you? This is a big smile. This is not me complaining. Not complaining at all. But I have the same battles that you have. I have to face the same economic, financial problems that you face. I have to deal with the Goliath, the bear, and the lion, just like you have to. And oh my, do I want to blast the wall sometimes, or do I want to just speak out what I'm feeling? But I know better. I know if I say this, that's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. I find that when I speak negatively with anger, it comes to pass quicker than when I speak with faith. Because I'm much more highly developed in my negativity than I am in my faith. Mm-hmm. Anybody out there want to say amen, Pastor? All right. All right. All right, let me try and wrap this up. Honestly, I'm trying hard. Let me finally give you the final word on it. In order for you to understand the power of your word and the gravity of your words, Jesus goes ahead and hangs our eternity on what we say. All right? All right. Believe it or not, he is still reading. He is still preaching the same sermon. We just got to verse 36 of chapter 12. He hasn't left. He's on the same theme. He says, but I tell you, you will have to give an account on the day of judgment. He didn't say for your sin. He says for every careless word that you have spoken. You've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. Every? That can't be true. Verse 37. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. How does that work? Well, listen to this. Jesus be my Lord. Right? Or, I don't believe in Jesus, you know. I think it's a myth. Don't believe in the Bible. No. This thing about salvation and stuff, you know, it's just a crutch. Just a crutch. Two words, two different people. When they get to judgment day, those words will be there waiting for them. I'm going to say something to you right now and blow your socks off if you're listening. Your words are as eternal as God's. Jesus just said that. He said, your words will be waiting for you when you get to judgment day. In other words, what comes out of your mouth is energy that cannot be destroyed once it comes out. Life or death. And it's going to hang around until you get to heaven. And the very word you said, I don't believe in Jesus, okay? That's door B. Oh, I believe in Jesus. That's door A. Yeah. Any third choices? Door A or B. You got it? And it won't be door B. It'll be door H. H stands for heaven. Just in case you were thinking something else. All right. Careless words cannot be tolerated and will not be tolerated by God. You're going to have to give an account. All right, Pastor Henry, please stop preaching now. I need to repent. Please have an altar call. I beg you in Jesus' name. This is me. My hand is up. Have an altar call. Somebody turn the lights down. What can I do? This is the question you're asking. What can I do about the destruction that I have sown into my life? Anybody? Anybody asking that question? What can I do? I could always start again if I don't get enough hands. How many hands? Let me see the hands. Nudge your neighbor and say, put your hand up. I've heard you before. No. Okay. Yeah. All right. This is what you do. Number one, you repent and you curse the harvest. See, repentance is a change, and it's a place where God can give forgiveness. So if today you go, all right, God, give me one more chance. This is it. You need to repent for what you have said about your spouse, about your family, about your children, about your business, about your health, about your future. You have to repent. And those words that were sown are supposed to produce a harvest. You know that. So what you got to do is you got to curse the harvest. You're to curse the harvest. What does that mean? I have to believe for a crop failure. See? There's a way out. There's a way out. Number one, I repent. Number two, I curse the harvest and I believe for a crop failure. Well, why? Why? How can I do that? Because you actually have said what you've said in ignorance. See, today light has come and now you are responsible for your words. Never again. So here's the key. If you don't want to be put under this kind of a pressure, stop coming to church. Just stop. But if you want to grow and you want to increase in the things of God, then come and say, God, speak to me so I can change what I've got to change so I can have everything you want me to have. Then you come. Amen? So so that's why you're here. So you spoke out of ignorance. And remember, ignorance is what allows the devil to destroy us. Well, I thought it was sin. No. It's not sin. It's ignorance. Yeah, it's ignorance. It's ignorance. You see, the Bible says this, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You see, ignorance doesn't protect you or exclude you from the harvest of chaos and destruction from the words you've spoken. You can't plead ignorance. You can't say, oh God, I didn't know. Please forgive me. I was ignorant. Forgive me. No. It's too late. You now have an opportunity to say, forgive me, I was ignorant, but going forward, I'm not going to be ignorant going forward. So then, number three, you ask God to put a guard over your mouth. Like you muzzle a dog, you have to muzzle your mouth. Everybody say, muzzle my mouth. I have to muzzle my mouth. I have to muzzle my mouth. Why? So I'm going to ask God to please help me by giving the Holy Spirit the authority to interrupt me before I speak. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's your guide. He's your comforter. And you know what? When you're thinking something before you say it, the Holy Spirit will say, don't say that. Don't say that. How many have had that happen to them? Come on. Okay. All right. So it is true. Listen, the verse is Psalm 141 and verse 3. It says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. There it is. Right there. In Scripture. You can ask God to please, God, put a guard over my mouth. Muzzle my mouth. Please, God, help me. Help me. Muzzle my mouth. Put a watch over the door of my lips. Holy Spirit will do that if you will give Him permission. If you'll invite Him, Holy Spirit, please, please, come. I'm asking you to help me with this. Help me with what I'm saying. And finally, thank God for finally, make a covenant promise today. With God, a covenant promise. I will always and only speak your word in every situation that I face. And I will not speak fear or the devil's words. I choose to speak life. And I promise you, God, today, forgive me. Crop failure. Holy Spirit, guard my mouth. From today, I covenant with you, God. No matter what I'm facing, I will choose to speak words of life and not damn my future or anybody that I love. Now, let's stand and pray the prayer. Let's stand and pray this prayer. Close your eyes. We're going to pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, let's do it together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth and the revelation about life and death being in the power of my tongue. I so appreciate the revelation that you've given me today. I repent of all the words of destruction, deceit, and damnation that I have spoken over my life, my family, my work, my health, my children, my spouse. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. I command, speak with, follow me. I command the words that I've spoken that are words of death and destruction to fall to the ground. I curse the harvest. I believe for a crop failure. In Jesus' name, I release myself from what the enemy intended. In Jesus' name, dear Father, I am giving the Holy Spirit authority to interrupt me before I speak. Holy Spirit, stand guard over my mouth. Watch over my lips. Guide what I say. Help me to speak life. Father, I make a covenant with you. From today, I promise you, I'm going to speak your word in every situation. I will speak words of life. I will not give in to words of fear and words of death. I will not give the enemy a foothold or a word to bring against me. In the name of Jesus, Father, I choose to speak life because you have given me the power to paint the future that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lights up.